Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hello there, it's Garbled Twistery 1.5. Thanks for tuning in. What are we going to be doing today? Well, we're going to be taking a look at our third presidential candidate for 1789, Johnny. No, not Johnny J. We talked about that guy last week. No, I'm talking about good old Johnny Rutledge, okay? Johnny number three, if you're keeping track, my man. As explained in the previous episode, I'm going to give you the full History Channel biography treatment up until it's election season, as usual. So let's get this show on the road! Okay, so Johnny Ruddy's daddy, whose name was also Johnny Ruddy, surprise, surprise, was hanging out with his friends in Ireland, and they were drinking potato milkshakes. He was just kind of sitting there and glancing at his bros, pretending to enjoy all that uninvited potato. And that's when he finally took a stand. Quote, "You know what, guys? These potato milkshakes, they're terrible. I'm sick of these flea-bitten potato milkshakes. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm going to America. Give me a hamburger for crying out loud." Unquote. So he, like, totally got on a boat and stuff and united himself to the States, where he was a medicine man. Then he bumped into some British lady named Sarah in the South Carolina bean, and they popped out a bunch of babies. The man of this particular hour, Johnny Ruddy Jr., was the first baby, and there were six others. Let's see, Andrew,
here,
Tommy,
here,
Sarah,
here,
Hugh,
present,
Mary, good morning, and Edward,
yes.
So when Johnny Ruddy Jr. was growing up, Johnny Ruddy Sr. was the one showing the kid the ropes, teaching him about life and arithmetic, but then daddy kicked the bucket, so some priest dude had to pick up the rest of the whole parenting slack. So, what did Johnny Ruddy Jr. want to be when he grew up? Guess. You'll never guess it. He wanted to be a freaking lawyer. He wanted to be a freaking lawyer. He wanted to be a lawyer. He wanted to be a freaking lawyer. Yeah, it seems like everybody who was super bougie and had money wanted to be a freaking lawyer. Like, this is the third guy we've talked about, and I'm still making Phoenix Wright ballads. Holy guacamole. No, but seriously, Johnny Ruddy was dead set on this. Like, he would run around the house pretending to be a lawyer. Quote, "Mom, I'm a lawyer. I can write your will." Unquote. When he was, like, 17 years old, some dude named James Parsley was all like, "Come here, son, I'll teach you how to be a lawyer." Then he took a fat boat to London to learn some lawyer stuff, and he won himself a bunch of cases when he was, like, 19 years old! I know, it's like he was the chosen one of the lawyers or something. And then when he came back, he didn't have to do that insane bottom-of-the-barrel lawyer grind like Jimmy McGill was doing, no. He came back to a flood of adoring clients. I guess the one good thing about following through with your childhood dreams is that everybody will freaking know when you follow through because you didn't shut up about it as a kid. So, his mom already came from a rich tea-sipping family, and his lawyer money only added to that insanity. Eventually, he met a lady named Liz. He really liked her a lot, so he put a ring on it, and they popped out 10 babies. That colonial fertility, I tell ya. Let's list them. All right. So there's Martha and Sarah. She won't last a year. And Johnny Jr. Jr.? Why didn't they just go with saying John the Third? Whatever. There's Edward and Frederick and William and Tommy. He won't last. And Liz and wait for it. Wait for it. States. States. Why would you name your child a plural noun? Are you kidding me? Whatever, let's talk about historical stuff. So, there was this whole stamp situation, and Johnny, being a freaking lawyer, just like everyone else we talked about, also didn't want to pay extra for freaking pieces of paper. Lawyers use a lot of paper, man. So, apparently, everybody was having a little congressy meeting about the stamp issue, and Johnny Ruddy nonetheless showed up, and he helped a lot by writing a paper to the fancy pants lords in England that basically said, quote, "Please don't milk our lawyer money with your dumb stamps. Please don't do that." Unquote. That particular request was left in the mailbox, still sealed. So he comes back to his hometown in South Carolina and sees that everybody has lost their marbles. People are burning stamps and bonfires in the middle of the road and chanting about Cthulhu. People are breaking into houses of suspected loyalists and taking their stamps and feeding them to the hounds. South Carolina is in shambles. And when it was time to freaking pay the crown for the stamps, there weren't any stamps. No stamps anywhere in South Carolina. And the stamp collector wasn't going to do anything without his freaking stamps. But there were no stamps. So that means no legal process has happened for a freaking year and a half. What is this, the purge? So after all that anarchy ended, because England gave up on the whole stamp thing, Johnny Ruddy went back to his daily bread and butter, being a fancy pants lawyer man. Then, this Continental Congress meeting thingy was happening, and South Carolina sent him and his brother to help out and stuff. Nobody could freaking tell the difference between what he and his dumb kid brother were doing there, because everybody only called them Rutledge in the records they kept. All I can really tell you is that either Johnny or his dumb kid brother came up with the idea of every colony getting a single vote for stuff. This is because making everybody vote is not only tedious, but if people vote and it doesn't go their way, they'll just get super mad and they'll write letters. So yeah, every colony gets one vote. Colonies should vote as a whole. That was Johnny's idea. Or his brother's idea. I don't know. But yeah, of course, he came back for Continental Congress. The Squeakle. But I don't know what he did this time. I guess he was there for the free food? South Carolinians, I tell ya. But yeah, 1776 comes around, and South Carolina has its own constitution, and Johnny Ruddy is now the president! Not of the U.S. We're not there yet. We have more candidates. Hold on to your horses, Charlie. No, he was the president of just South Carolina. And everybody was at war, so he was busy trying to throw together some kind of government, while also making sure everybody had enough guns to shoot the tea sippers with and stuff. And the tea sippers were a valid thing to be prepared for because they wanted to get their stubby little hands on Charleston. Johnny tried to make a freaking fort to stop them, but when they showed up, he was only halfway done. Rude.
So rude.
As a result of this, his main man, General Charlie, came bursting through his office doors all like, quote, "Look, I'm giving that fort an entire episode of SpongeBob SquarePants until the sea sippers turn it into rubble," unquote. Johnny Ruddy, with a satanic, deadpan look in his eyes, responded with, quote, "Well, boo-hoo-hoo, you're not leaving," unquote. Yeah. Everybody would later on call him Dictator Johnny behind his back because he was such a grumpy mashed potato, you know? But anyways, the tea sippers threw a whole bunch of cannonballs at the fort, but, like, it had really good logs that had, like, sand in them, so the cannonballs basically did nothing, and the sand was coarse and rough and irritating, and it got everywhere, so the tea sippers kind of just gave up and left. And now it's a holiday! If you ever want barbecue chicken for free, go to South Carolina on June 28th. I'm sure you'll get some. Ha ha, yeah! So after that fun ordeal, Johnny Ruddy kept being president, having his fun and stuff, but then this new constitution showed up, and Johnny was all like, quote, I'm gonna veto this, because it feels very much like a direct democracy, and then anarchy will happen, and then people will be dressing their chickens up to go to the supermarket, and we can't have that, we cannot, unquote. The legislature correctly identified Johnny Ruddy as a kook, overrode his veto. And then Johnny threw a hissy fit about it and resigned from office in a huff.
So a loser.
Not much later, those tea sippers looked at South Carolina again and they thought, let's try again. Next thing you know, some loser named Archibald is standing at your front door with like 3,000 people with an Airbnb certificate for the entire state of South Carolina. I guess this kind of scared the noodles out of the higher-ups because they freaking re-elected Johnny Ruddy as the governor of South Carolina in a heartbeat, I tell ya. Immediately, he sent General Benny Lincoln to go be annoying for the tea sippers. This backfired because, like, the tea sippers showed up in Charleston with, like, 2,500 freaking people, and it was a whole bunch of loyalists too. And yeah, there were no beating those odds. Okay, realizing this, Johnny Ruddy
secretly
found out what the terms of surrender would be and went to the War Council. But the War Council was all like, "Quote, ask them if we could stay neutral. We have troops. We could bargain." Unquote. Oh. And by troops, they mean Joe from the toothpaste-making factory, who's never so much as seen a gun in his life. I mean, the council basically said that if some peeps got captured, they'd think about it and everybody'd get ready for a hoedown. But the sun rises the next day and the tea-sippers freaking laughed, because they got all angsty at the last second. But, you know, that didn't mean Charleston was safe. Like, in 1780, British Bill Clinton showed up, and everybody freaking lost their minds. I'm serious. The War Council basically threw their hands up in the air and said, quote, "Now you listen here, Johnny. All of us have soiled our britches, and you're our only hope. And so now you have the permission to do whatever you freaking want, as long as you're not, like, executing people without a trial. Just don't cross that line," unquote. And Johnny Ruddy tried. But the thing is, everybody also had smallpox or whatever, so when Johnny tried to assemble his own Ginyu force to handle things, nobody showed up, because smallpox ruins lives. This means that while British Bill Clinton was hanging around with 5,000, then 7,000, then 9,000 freaking people, Johnny Ruddy only had like 3,000 max, because nobody, and I mean nobody, wants freaking smallpox. So, obviously Charleston surrendered. Johnny Ruddy got away and was able to still be a governor of the parts of South Carolina that nobody cares about. By the time the tea-sippers had to give away Charleston, Johnny Ruddy couldn't be governor anymore because, like, he was doing that for too long and his subscription was canceled or whatever. But that's not the end of this story. No siree. The Continental Congress wanted him back, and he got to be a judge in South Carolina. So this means we have more to talk about. Oh, yeah. So, I know this question has been on your mind. Did the guy own slaves? Of course he did. Well, I do declare any self-respected South Carolinian white man had himself some slaves. And sure, the guy said he didn't like slavery, but I think he only said that to fit in with his more forward-thinking clique, because he sided with people who abused slaves so bad that it actually went to court twice. I mean, his wife, Liz, granted all of the ones she had freedom, and his nieces were like abolitionists to the max or whatever. But Johnny Ruddy himself? No. He sat there and was all like, quote, We can't get rid of the slaves. Who else is gonna cook dinner for the cocktail parties by force for free? And the Continental Congress were straight up convinced by that argument alone, I guess. I mean, what can I say? Progress is a process. Okay, so now I have an exciting little tidbit of celebrity gossip to tell you, okay? So, there was this guy who owned a bar. His name was William Thompson. And he darn near got himself exiled from South Carolina. How did this happen? Why does South Carolina care so much about some tavern guy? Well, basically, Johnny Ruddy sent a servant girl to William Thompson's tavern to watch the fireworks from the roof. William, understandably, was like, quote, "I'm not gonna have you climbing up my stinking roof. If you fall and break your leg, I don't intend to be getting sued, you hear? Scram," unquote. So, she scrammed, and Tommy Ruddy was overreactingly salty. He demanded an apology. William didn't want to apologize. In fact, the fact that an apology was demanded seemed pretty insulting to Willie over here. So he went into his bedroom closet, walked out with his torn William pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and challenged Tommy Ruddy to a duel. But since Tommy Ruddy was a person rickety, bougie, and petty government official who wasn't one of the hoi polloi, he wasn't gonna fight this one like a real man. No, he tried to pass a bill to banish William, only for William to snap back with the read of the century. Quote,
I swear, if you idiots banish me, you're gonna be acting just like the freaking monarchs we ran away from. Unquote. Boom.
Yeah, that whole fiasco changed how states thought about legislating things for, like, ever. Okay, so remember in Johnny J's episode where Alexander Hammy Tammy had that meeting in Philly because the articles of confetti were weaker than a 90-year-old human with osteoporosis trying to open a ketchup bottle? Remember how I said Johnny J took a rain check? Well, Johnny Ruddy did make it to the meeting, and boy was he determined to do South Carolina proud. He showed up to all the meetings and was on freaking 5 committees. There was this whole Virginia plan versus New Jersey plan thing, and he sided with the Virginia plan because I guess he preferred, like, having a House and a Senate and not just one parliament thingy. I mean, he was the head of this thingy called the Committee of Detail. And this committee basically wrote the entire first draft of the freaking Constitution. Johnny Ruddy made sure to add a bunch of, well, details that everybody pretty much already agreed upon. No curveballs like nowadays in this draft, no siree. Oh, but, you know, Johnny, he had some logical opinions that got into the document, though. He just yelled at people instead of being all sneaky about it. Quote, we should only have one executive in the executive branch. I mean, sure, they could have henchmen or whatever, but come on, people, it's called the executive branch for a reason. Unquote. Oh, and also, quote, listen, I'm a judge, and I'm telling you, you better not let the judge be all opinionated and stuff. No, sir, they're only there to resolve the conflict, not to be extra. Okay? Unquote. He also thought that the Senate should just get all the bills, because they have long terms, so they'll mull over things and be all casual while not being too hyper-powerful, because the House of Reps would be able to, like, check in on them and approve anything that needed to happen in the Senate. Yeah. He had a lot of opinions that made it to the Constitution. At one point, some bougie airbag suggested that only landowners could vote. Johnny Ruddy responded with, quote, don't pull that have-and-have-not nonsense on me, or I'll have to punch you in the face, sir. Are you trying to start a class war? Good grief, unquote. And when someone said that, like, slavery should just be banned already, it's about time, Johnny Ruddy, a southern slave owner, said, quote, look, if we have to ban slavery in this Constitution, all of my dinner party friends are gonna be mad, and none of them are gonna sign and agree with the Constitution, so sorry, but the black people still have to not be people. Unquote. Wow, Johnny, I bet you would never predict how much freaking large-scale mayhem choosing not to abolish slavery in the Constitution would cause later on! Oh! Would you look at the time! It's election season. That means I gotta stop right here for now. But if Johnny Ruddy does run in future elections, I shall post this episode again and tell you where the new info starts. Cause life goes on in between elections. If you got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, lemon juice, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to the garbletwistery.net website and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafik, that is R-A-F-I-Q at garbletwistery.net. Next time, we're looking at Johnny. No, not any old Johnny. The final Johnny. The candidate with the funnest name. Johnny Penny Cocky. See you next time.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
And then people will be dressing their chickens up to go to the supermarket, and we can't have that. We cannot.